ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. Tonight, they're going to talk about the countdown to the solar eclipse, and they're going to talk about politics. And I'm Stormin' Norman, and I'm free-falling. No, that was wrong.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. This is Christine Marie.
Yes, and I'm Julie, and we're at the countdown to the total solar eclipse of the sun.
Or as my granddaughter calls it, the clips.
The clips.
We're going to see the total clips of the sun.
Speaking of granddaughters, we saw them this week. They're so adorable. And I want to share one quick story. You want to share it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm always so... like aware of how kids are different now.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, they are.
Just their, and I'm even like kids, like young adult kids are different than I was. And mm-hmm. You know, is it cultural? Am I just being too observant? What's going on?
You're being too observant.
Or like, am I seeing things that really aren't there? You know, I'm just
right.
It's not as anecdotal or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
One of your granddaughters was talking to you, she goes, now, and she told you something, and she goes, now, you know, when I say it, it comes true.
That's right.
And you're like, oh, is that Disney-fied?
I did say that.
Or is that, you didn't say it, did you know if you said it to me? You said it to me, like,
I said
that
to you.
Disney-fied? Or?
Yeah, she said, if I say it, it becomes true.
It becomes true.
Yeah, and then when I was relaying that to you, I wondered if that was sort of the Disneyfication of America.
Right.
Because these kids love Disney, you know. And that would be something that you would hear in a Disney movie, you know.
Well, for sure. And then also, I mean, knowing that you're a psychic girl, you grew up kind of psychically. Mm-hmm. To me, and I totally didn't get that skill. I'm like, well, maybe that jumped.
It skipped a generation.
I mean, that's the lore, right? It does skip a generation.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I wonder if she got the gift.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever I say comes true.
It's true.
It happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know that with law of attraction, you want to say what you want, never say what you don't want.
Right.
You know, it talks about in the Bible, you know, you're supposed to say what you want, not
right.
say what you don't want.
Right.
Your words
or
are powerful.
Or just the idea of faith.
Yeah.
Faith is the evidence of things
not seen. Yes.
And faith is the substance.
Yes.
Substance of things not seen, the evidence
of things hoped for or
yeah,
something.
Shoot. Why can't I remember that?
Well,
faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen.
Seen, right.
Yeah.
If you can see it, it literally is not faith.
Right.
I mean,
and
that's
literally,
the whole point.
If I say it,
yes,
it's true.
You know? Right. And so sometimes we used to talk about this and how we felt there were times that we were being law of attraction. Like, you know, we'd hire
Absolutely.
Somebody and I'm like, you know, I think you've law of attraction me. Like, you
right.
know, you told me what you want me to believe.
Yeah. And you told me what you wanted to believe.
What you wanted to believe. But the reality is you weren't ready for the gig yet.
Right.
Because you were future thinking it.
Yes.
Which I'm cool with, but right. I didn't want to be your guinea pig.
Yeah. Don't be my guinea pig.
You know, I remember.
What did that one guy say to us?
Yeah,
I'm looking for a
cash cow.
I'm looking for a cash cow. Somebody must have just said that to him.
Yeah, you need
but
a cash cow.
A cash cow.
Yeah. And like, oh, okay, I got to find me a cash
and
cow.
And you know, Mr. and Mrs. Peters, I'm looking for a cash cow. Keep looking.
Yeah. We're not your cash cow.
Ran out of cash a long time ago.
This cow's been dried for a long time. This ain't going to be happening.
And then he was trying to convince us that he was an artisan.
Right.
But he kept calling it that he was an artesian.
Right.
And he kept saying, you know, I'm an artisan. I'm looking for some cash cows. But, you know, but he
yeah.
kept saying artesian.
Yeah.
I go, oh, you're a spring.
Yeah. And you're like, and you get in a way you felt, you kind of felt sorry for the guy. And some sweet, or like, you want to help
yes.
him. Because
yes.
you go, he's hearing enough, but he's not hearing the whole picture. So he's like, yeah. he's kind of trying to engaging it.
Yeah.
And you're like his first
yeah.
person to try
yeah.
and deal with this.
Yeah.
And so as kind as you guys are, you're like going, I don't know, do we burst this guy's bubble? Because this is going to be... because
somebody's going to burst his bubble.
Yeah. And does it
have to be me?
Probably not. It doesn't have to be
but,
you.
But what if, you know, what if he's just still being Disneyfied?
Yeah.
He's still out there.
You dream it, it can come true.
He found someone that said, oh, I'll be your cash cow.
Right.
You know.
I think I was listening to Joyce Meyer, or maybe you were, and then you referred it back to me or something. But, and Joyce Meyer was talking about, you know, and I'm sure she gets this a lot, or I think a lot of preachers get this comment. I know coaches, we do.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, what happens when you're trying and you're trying and you've done the work and still no results?
Yeah.
And then you're out of time, you're out of money, you're out of... you're out of favor, you're out of luck.
Yes.
And you're out of energy. What do you do then?
Yeah, and I think they are getting that a lot.
Yeah.
Especially since
you used all your mojo to get going, right? Yeah, you used your faith. You used your law of attraction.
You used all your capital.
You used all your capital. You drained that resources. 401k.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out, you know? What do you do then?
Exactly.
You know, and those are hard questions to ask.
They are hard questions, but it used to be like, I'd hear preachers say, well, you didn't have big enough faith.
Right.
Or I'd hear law of attraction say,
yeah,
you know, you got to finish that.
Yes. And that's what the law of attraction says. No, I did the little hand job movement. And, yeah. You know, and I guess nowadays, mom, you know.
Every time Julie does the hand job, got to say, you got to finish it.
You got to finish it off. So hold on, he's a fast finisher.
Hold on, she's finishing.
All right. Done.
Okay, you're good. Okay.
It's not nearly as enjoyable doing when I had to finish it off. I am definitely a tease.
Especially on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hold on, everybody.
Hold on, Julie's got to finish it.
Yeah, there's nothing visual about it unless you want to describe it.
That's right.
As I do this. And in that case, it's just not nearly, it's a little grotesque.
Yeah, it's just gross now.
No, it's just gross. Gone too far. Gone way too far.
Yeah, so I think you're absolutely right, though, with this this idea that, you know, your faith isn't great enough, or if it's not your faith, then you didn't law of attraction it good enough. I mean, it always ends up being your responsibility. Yeah, your fault, your responsibility. Fault.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really sorry, but because I participated in that.
Right.
For many years, I would say, you know, at least 3 or 4, until the bubble broke and my psychotherapist, psychologist, you know, person broke through and said, wait a minute, this doesn't address, you know, the whole issue. It's nice if you've got the funds and the resources and all of that.
Right.
To see it through.
Right.
But I mean, I've heard Hillary say, the Hillary that lost the election.
Yes.
That when people would say these, you know, small business stories, like try to get my small business up and blah, blah, blah. And she would say, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not responsible for you being undercapitalized.
Right.
And we've all seen successful people go on to do different things, but be successful. And that is because they are capitalized either by themselves or
other
by
people
who know that they are already a brand.
Who knows why? I mean, like, you're right. I mean, like,
I was just watching Chrisley Knows Best.
Yeah.
And he was buying his daughter a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, she's like not even 21. How can she get a house?
Right.
I said to Norm. And he was putting the 20% down and the bank was, and, you know, she was financing it. I said, how does she make money? I don't even think she finished college.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, she started a clothing line.
Yes.
On Evine or something. QVC or something. And then I do remember that she was on E! News Network with her dad hawking this clothing line.
Right.
Called
Chrisley?
I don't know. I don't know.
Beauty Queen?
I'm not going to even give it a but the thing is, it's not that all of a sudden this girl from South became, you know, got this idea for a clothing line and now she's already something.
Right.
Her dad was already something.
Well, and he had to go, I think he went bankrupt recently, like in the last couple of years, to clear up some past business dealings.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, yeah, I had to do it. No, I'm not going to carry that debt forever. You know, I'm going to just take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then but because he was already guys branding, like you said, you know, and it is interesting because what you feel sorry for and for is like people starting off new.
Yeah.
Because you go, well, how do you do it? And you hear the lucky stories, but you don't hear the other 99 who've put all their money in.
Yeah.
And
work like dogs.
Yeah. And at the
like
end going,
dogs.
What, you know, I guess I didn't find the right marketing campaign.
I feel the same
you know,
way
or whatever.
About when I watch Chopped,
you
know, when I see these guys, they put hundreds of hours that they don't spend time with their families.
Right.
They miss out on on important things in their lives,
right?
Because they're trying to build this career where they can become, you know, head chef or executive chef,
or the person who creates the meal, the menu, and just pops. I don't really know how that all works out.
I don't either. But you know that the odds are not in their favor,
right? And so I know that you never give up. You never give up in some sense.
I know that's true too.
That's the purpose. And we also know, I mean, being spiritual beings, we can come to that place where we're going, there are no such things as mistakes, because you are perpetual, or failures, because you're learning what you're supposed to be learning, whatever that is.
Yeah, whatever that was. That thing that eventually cracks the code.
Or whatever you're supposed to be learning, you're learning it. If it's a spiritual lesson, or we choose to look at our life as these great big cosmic classrooms, and we learn from every experience we have, and we choose to take it so damn seriously, because deep down it is a crapshoot, or deep down it is, you know, you're only, you know, just a couple of bad decisions or good decisions away from, you know. Well, you may not know what those are.
I know, but we're talking an interesting territory here for me, because I mean, I know you and I together have put in hundreds and hundreds, perhaps thousands of hours,
right?
You know, developing courses and and products and things like that. And right when we were ready to explode,
right, put advertising out and everything,
you came down with Lyme disease,
right? Yeah,
and has literally stopped it. And that it reminds me of the time that the day that our book became number one on Amazon, we're at the kind of a peak of Christine Marie and Julie.
Yeah, we really were.
And we got hacked.
Yes.
Not just hacked on Christine Marie and Julie, but all of our websites got hacked.
I know. It's so crazy.
And it was at like
Romano's job changed that same week, like, into a horrible situation.
That's right. Because at that point, it was really sweet, and it was everybody was job sharing, and it became this... it just all happened at once and threw us off. And there was another time we came close, and Norm had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And it was just like, everything stopped for 6 months or whatever. So I've tried to say, well, wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
What's the spiritual lesson?
Yeah. And then you just go, finish it.
Gotta finish it.
And then you're like, I am done with spiritual lessons. You know, and then you go, if I wasn't a believer, what would they think? You know, what would be the person who didn't believe in?
Right.
Like, when you're dead, you're dead. There's no real spiritual.
Yeah. And those people seem to do just as well.
Or at least they're fine and good enough, right?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I heard Dan Sandwich say, you know, hey, you know there's no God, right? Yeah. And I wanted to go like, Dan, wow, how
do you know there's not a God, Dan? Don't you see the flowers blooming?
Show me, Dan.
Show me where he says there's no God, Dan.
I was like, ready, okay, I can kind of believe it, Dan, but show me.
Well, and it's sort of like it's their F-U to you. It really is their F-U to you. I do like I think there's that spectrum of atheists, like Bill Maher.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe in God, but I don't want to not believe in him either. Like, I don't want a cause. To me, it's not a cause.
He said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't. I mean, it's not an issue for me. Mm-hmm. There are other people who are on the spectrum who don't believe and then think if you do believe, you're an idiot. You're a moron, you know.
Or
how's your imaginary friend doing?
Well,
Has he helped you out
I've
lately?
I've heard Bill Maher say, hey, you know, I love being in your business because you sell an imaginary product.
Right.
Or an invisible product.
Right.
That's cool.
That's what I like about internet marketing, because it's all downloadable. It's kind of it's not a tangible thing either.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of imaginary products out there.
Yeah.
You know, the girl giving the guy a little bit of a story so they can have a happy ending. That's a kind of an imaginary product, right? Like if you're like a sex line.
Oh, okay.
It's not really a physical product. I guess it really is, but there's not. When it's done, it's done. You know? Or is that too far? Am I comparing too much? I don't know.
You're saying a sex worker giving a happy ending is an imaginary product.
No, like through a phone.
Because there's no such thing as happiness.
No, like, yeah, that's right. Because it's just an emoji. No, yeah. Like through a
phone. You just stamp an emoji on their forehead. How do you want to feel? Oh, okay.
I'm happy now.
I feel like a banana today.
Well, you know, we've talked about these discussions, and as coaches, we read a lot, and we can see how everything's evolving as well. And
totally evolving.
Yeah.
And for the better, really.
Oh, yeah. Like,
but you don't want to break somebody's bubble either.
No.
You know, you look at some young people and you know they're going through it, and they have to tell themselves these things to stay in it,
right?
And God bless them, you know.
Well, because you know that there's been the story where they've put their last dollar in, and it was their last dollar that got them, got them.
Or their parents' last dollar?
Or their parents' last dollar? You know, you know, and I was, it is, and I don't know if we were going to talk about this, but.
We didn't know either.
Yeah, you know, us, we don't know what we're talking about either half the time. But it is interesting to have these things come up and you're tackling your life on this spiritual way.
Yeah.
And it's certainly not an upward swing the entire time. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to, gosh, not Dan Savage. The guy who does the debt reduction, and he's all on
Mr. Mustache.
No. He's on the radio. He's on the paper too. And I want to say Dan something, but can't think of his name right now.
Okay, he's on the radio too, though.
He radio a lot.
Okay,
and then he's also in our local paper where you ask him a question.
Oh yeah, him.
What's and he's you know
is it Dan something?
I don't know if it's Dan or not. Now I can't think of his last name.
Yeah,
And I like this dude overall. Yeah. I used to hear him all the time.
Right,
and I remember he went bankrupt. You know, when he was younger.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to church, and he believes in tithing, and he believes in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. You know, that's how he signs off everything, you know, and all this stuff.
He signs off Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ.
No, he does not.
No, like,
that's
not right,
Julie. That's not right. He's not the Prince of Peace. But he's like, you know, I mean, the Prince of Peace, you know, I don't know what his little sign off is, but he used to mention Jesus all the time in the phrase of, you know, Prince of Peace.
Why can't I think of his name?
I can't either. This is I
want to say Shaft, and I don't know why.
Yeah, that's it. Shaft.
I've been dead.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. He's Shaft. No, and so. And he went to church.
He gives you the shaft.
Exactly. But he was talking about how he was going to church, and it was a faith church, and she's like, well, how everything going? He goes, well, really not good. I'm facing bankruptcy. Everything's really hard, and I'm tithing. And she goes, are you tithing? She goes, yeah, of course I tithe. You know, his congregation, he was really a tither. Mm-hmm. I tithe on everything. And he goes, well, you just don't have big enough faith then. That's your problem. You don't have big enough faith. Mm-hmm. And he's like, my faith is huge. I just got into too much debt. I got into debt over everything, and nothing worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And so in his model, mm-hmm. he believes in zero debt. He doesn't buy anything mm-hmm. without, I mean.
And in her model, is his big enough faith could have gotten him out of that debt.
Yes. And so I don't know which model is true.
No.
Because and really, the
truth is whatever model you play in
is a good,
as long as you stay in it.
As long as you stay in it. Exactly. Yeah. As long as you stay in the model that you've picked,
yeah.
Cuz I was so his model.
It's the changing of the models.
God, what is that? What is his name? I can't think of his name. It's crazy.
I bet Dad would know.
Yeah.
You want to ask him?
Hey Normano. Ask him.
Screw him.
Yeah. you know, but I remember reading Millennial Millionaire. I heard about him.
Mr. Mustache.
No, different guy.
Okay.
He's from, the guy I'm talking about is from Chicago, and I'm fascinated with millennials, you know, and he said he was so broke, he goes, I'm going to give myself 6 years or 5 years to become a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think he did it in like 3.5. And he said, if I didn't borrow money, he goes, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
He goes, I made $400,000 off my first house.
Right.
Because I was able to borrow $200,000.
Right.
And I put a lot of sweat equity into it.
Right.
And then I made $400,000 off of it.
Right.
I'm like, well, in Chicago? Really? Where was this at?
Yeah, especially since 2008.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when did this all happen?
Right.
And so, or maybe he meant like a couple different homes and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I don't believe in that at all, that you should, you know, you're going to have to use some, you're going to borrow some money. You know, so it's like whatever you believe in, mm-hmm. and so forth. But he certainly had tons of side hustles. I mean, everything he did was a side hustle.
Everything he did was
a side
hustle.
He wanted to go to the Cubs. He bought four. He would go buy six tickets, sell four.
And be able to pay for his own ticket for free.
Everything was, how do I do this for free?
Yeah, exactly.
That gets a little exhausting for me. But in like 3.5 years, he was able to create this life for himself,
yeah.
plus then sell it on the web and now he has, you know, website money, whatever that means, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I'm just thinking too of, we were listening to Penn Jillette.
Right, yes.
And he was talking about, I think he was talking about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's somebody else I've been hearing about. People were talking about that Trump really isn't and wasn't this great businessman.
Right.
I mean, his model was to screw, you know, right. hire people, don't pay him.
Right. That's, yeah.
Or if it, you know, do this thing and if it didn't work out, just,
right.
just go bankrupt and leave.
Right.
And then, or if the, if he couldn't go bankrupt, the banks would have to be so, they couldn't afford him going bankrupt. They'd have to actually lend him money and
right.
make sure he was okay in all of this.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a model.
Yeah.
It's oh. not one that certainly, you know, you and I could play in, but...
No, and you wonder how he got to play in that, or he got to be so freeing continuously his whole adult life.
Yeah.
Like, you know...
I can't figure it out.
No, I mean, and...
Because most people would have to pay the piper.
At some point.
At some point in time.
And he wouldn't be rewarded for being the president, but he was rewarded for being the president.
That'd almost be like punishment.
I'd be like, who would want to be the president? I wouldn't want to know how to deal with all this mess, you know?
Yeah.
I would have a very active vice president. But, you know, like, hey, I'll be like the queen. Like, she doesn't do anything, really.
Right.
You know, she right. shakes some hands, pets some dogs, and
yeah.
loves some babies, and that's about all she does.
That's right.
You know, I'd do that, but to really run the country, no. we'd, you know,
yeah.
let someone else tackle that
yeah.
that mess.
I totally agree. I wouldn't be made for that.
Well, because there's never... I know there was never a black and white issue with running the country.
No.
You always screw somebody over.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hope that your net gains weigh out the yeah. cost of it.
Well, it's hard for me to be this old, as old as I am.
Yes.
And this is my first couple years of really understanding government.
Right. Oh,
because
yeah.
Because I never really cared that much before or even be right. interested. And now that I see, like, oh, how... the Senate works and how you have to write, you know, they
right.
do bills all the time.
And like, they're having a count, but the vote's not really to pass the bill. It's to move the bill forward.
Yeah. That's all that stuff.
And they can bring in a bill that means nothing, that actually is not a workable piece of, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, like Trump will sign this like big bill and it looks like a big menu, you
right.
know, like, woo, how cool it looks.
Yeah.
And it means literally nothing, you know. And I just find it this like a big, huge civic lesson.
I agree. I think there's a lot of benefits to having this much hoopla over President Trump. First of all the news media's out there need to just kiss his ass right now, because in some ways,
why?
Because who is watching it before now? I mean, who
oh,
is
I see what you're saying.
But
they're
we're
like,
all like paying such a close
yeah,
attention to
right,
it.
Right.
I mean.
You're absolutely right.
I would watch CNN.
I would never watch CNN like the way I watch
it now. And I certainly wouldn't turn on Fox, but I definitely
it's
watch
hysterical.
Fox.
Yeah.
Because I want to see the counterpoint.
Yeah.
And I also try to watch MSNBC.
I was watching CNN, and I go, I got to see what Fox is saying.
Yeah.
And they were talking about Hillary and her emails.
Yeah.
And
you're
how,
like, what?
I'm
is
like,
this not done
oh,
yet?
Head,
are we not
I
done
went,
with
wait,
this?
Did we just flash back?
Yeah.
To like 2016 or 2015?
I mean, do we need like 100 people that literally just go after political people continuously? Like, okay, you know, okay, reporters, you don't have to worry about the emails anymore. This group, you know, I don't know, we're going to call them. Some
they'll
fans,
take care of that.
They'll take care of it. We'll call it the shaft.
They'll give her the shaft.
We'll give her. And you just put your name, like, get people better look into this.
Yeah.
You know, because at this stage, I'm like, the Clintons foundation is accepting any money.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's done. I could
wow.
be wrong.
Wow.
And
is that because it really was not legit?
I don't know. I think it was probably more legit than
Trump's.
Yes.
it paid for his attorney fees.
Yeah.
His foundation did.
When I realized.
And that big picture of him, that
yeah.
200-foot picture of him in the.
Oh, yeah. Come
I don't
on.
Know where, but.
When I realized that a lot of people who are wealthy, who have these foundations, it's just a way for them to make more money.
Right.
I mean, like. Huge money.
Yeah, huge
you know,
money.
It's I get sick, and when you really go deep into it, I'm like, oh, it's just another business.
Yeah.
It's just another business, right. And I, you know, if I guess if the money trickles down and it really helps somebody, I guess it's okay, because in the end it brings in more money than having a bake sale. I don't know. I really don't
I know.
But
it doesn't.
I tell you what.
I can't go there because it gets too...
I do believe that Carter... You know, Habitat for Humanity, the Carter Foundation, I believe they do good work.
Yes.
Because I think that he doesn't need much. Like, I don't think he's a, I don't, I mean, I could be wrong.
No, he's not siphoning off, what was it, that Donald J. Trump
Jr.? Well, he was like really 10% or 20%.
It was like, in this, he would raise like $30 million and he would take 20% of
yeah.
that for him.
For him. And
the
then it was a standard.
Yeah.
I go, you know what?
This is industry standard. F you.
It can't be industry standard when you're probably taking money for renting out the hall, if it's mm-hmm. at in the Trump, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. like, you're taking money all the way. I remember when one of the boy bands, New Kids, or a different boy band back in the day, mm-hmm. They sued their management company because
yeah.
he goes, we don't mind them taking money.
Yeah.
But they're like double, triple, and quadruple dipping.
Yeah.
Like, that has to stop.
Right.
You know, you can take your share, but don't take everybody else's share.
Right.
And that's what you feel like. Well, yeah. it's like, oh, yeah. And it just makes me crazy. It just makes me crazy.
Me too.
But yet, I find it very fascinating. And maybe it's a big, huge distraction from whatever I'm supposed to be really focusing on. You know?
I hate to think that. But yeah, yeah, probably.
But it certainly is. Yeah.
Look over here, people, because the aliens are coming.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you. Okay, speaking of aliens.
I had an alien dream this week.
Did you? Mm-hmm. What was it?
I told you about it.
Tell the audience.
Oh, tell the audience. Okay. I remember being at my grandma's house when I was
right.
a little kid, and I see this UFO coming down the street.
Yeah.
And it looks like an actual bell.
Right.
Like, do you remember, like, those kind of bells that a teacher would have on her desk? Like,
yeah.
ding, 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 like
yeah.
that. And it just, and I, like, and I run into my grandma's house, and I'm thinking, there's a lot of people in the street, so this thing's going to leave me alone. And I look out the window, and it's like on my grandma's front porch.
You're like, dang.
And I got really angry, and I go, enough of this
yeah.
UFO stuff. I'm just going to come out there and just like,
right.
just give a piece of my mind. And I run out. I'm ready to attack this bell, this UFO bell. And there's just two little girls on the front porch selling brownies and lemonade.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Where's the bell at this point?
Gone.
So do they come from the bell? We don't know.
I woke up going,
they're selling.
Scary.
And it was Beyonce and Mrs. Fields, you know, selling brownies and lemonade because,
yeah.
you know, lemonade's her big album.
Maybe I'm meant to go to Colorado and buy some edible brownies.
That's true. That could be the whole message.
Or I'm supposed to start making those edible brownies.
Either one.
And sell them here.
That's right. I had a great big idea.
I hear you're going to Colorado making a pot run with a friend.
Yes, with possibly. Because I don't
I'm
know
not
if it's
going to say his name.
And I'm not going to say if it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. I've just been hearing rumbles.
But it's going to be at some point in time. You're
possibly.
You're going to go and make a run.
Well,
now, you wouldn't call it a drug run because it's legal.
In some states.
It's legal.
It is legal.
Yeah.
It is legal.
Is it legal between here and there?
No, it really isn't. I don't think.
Oh, so you have to stay there and ingest it all.
That's what would happen.
And then it regurgitated back up when you got home.
Like a bird.
Like a little bird. Feeding its little babies.
Exactly. That's just wrong. Yes, I've been contemplating this because I've been hearing people do this now.
Yeah.
They go to Colorado.
Yeah.
They get a bunch of pot in different ways.
Yes.
And they bring it home and it lasts them like two or 3 months.
Okay, but it's a tour.
Now, they have
that,
pot tours now.
I want to be part of that.
Right, you want to have that as a business?
Exactly. I want it to be my side hustle.
It's a B&B. You can get a B&B. And then, you know, they take a shuttle bus to wherever the dispensary. Because I guess legally they can't
be in the shuttle
there,
bus. Yeah.
You know, and then.
Because I told last week I was thinking about being in the carny business.
Right. I think
Remember?
That was horrible
we were gonna,
for you.
You didn't like my fried dough stand?
No, I think that's a great idea. Fried dough is a great idea.
But now I'm thinking, Dad and I and you be in the pot business.
I think it's totally...
Well, actually, it would be hospitality.
Right, the hospitality business.
Yeah, hospitality. Hotspotality.
Pots. Good job. Yeah, but I think that would be fun. I think it will be interesting because, you know, Penn was on, I don't know where I heard Penn, Nat talking.
Penn Jillette. He was on Bill Moore last night.
Yeah, and I was listening to him on NPR yesterday, and he was saying that, or I guess it was Bill Maher, talking about how he was on this one famous magazine that supports weed. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I've been the only person on the cover that never has touched it. You know?
He has never touched weed?
Mm-mm, no. I haven't either. And to me, it fascinates me because I'm like, if it's this miracle cure for everything, I really want some. Maybe it'll cure my Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Like today, you know, I'm on this other medicine, you know, and I feel a little breathing heavy, you know, and then my mom, as I'm saying this, gives me the motherly look like, oh, no, what's next?
Not again.
This will never get better. What's the end result here? What's the end game? I'm like, there is no end game. I will be fine.
It is what it is.
But the medicine, you know, I have the Lyme disease side effects, and then I have the medicine side effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know which one's worse sometimes, you know.
Right.
It is what it is. Like, you know, my hands and feet get real numb.
Yeah.
And my knees get numb, which I think is very interesting.
Numb? Yeah. Whoa.
My knees fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Isn't that funny? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it happens about 2.5 hours after I take the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's happening now. I'm having a trip. Yeah, I'm having a trip right now.
So you would like to have some pot, right?
I don't know if it would work. I don't know if I should take it together. And I'm sure if I talk to my doctor about my neurologist, he'd be like, no, mm-hmm. there's not enough data to support that. I'm like, yeah, I know there's no data to support it because
nobody does research on it.
Yeah, who's doing research on it? Because you can't do research on it.
See, we should get a Fulbright grant.
Yeah, there you go.
To do research. I heard this one woman, she got a Fulbright grant to study in Norway.
Huh.
And what she's doing is, with her Fulbright grant, that's hard to say actually, mm-hmm. Fulbright grant, is studying lab meat. She's learning how to make meat in a lab that if they succeed, then they can save the environment and save animals.
Yeah.
Although Norm's argument used to always be like, when I would say, you know, it's kind of cruel, you know, to kill animals, and Norm goes, yeah, but they would never be alive in the first place.
Right.
He's like, you could give them a chance to live and enjoy life a little bit, and then kill them.
Yeah, they would never be alive. They weren't going to be me.
That was his thinking.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I there's something to that, I guess. I don't know.
No. So what do you think about lab meat?
Lab meat. I say sure, because you know what? You can't stop progress. Progress is always going on.
Yeah. And here's some lovely, you know, you might just have, I don't know what kind of restaurant it would be. It'd be the lab diner.
Yeah.
And everything in it is grown in a lab.
Well, I mean, then you have, I mean, I've seen, you know, TV shows or movies in the past where you get your meal and it literally is just a pill and it tastes like whatever you want it tastes like.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
And you just
the astronauts have that.
Right. Yes. Someone just texted me. I don't know what it's about. And it just said, no headache or stiff neck. And I'm like, what does that mean? Doug, I just saw Doug's sister text me. I just said, no headache, no stiff neck. I'm like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
I mean, I wonder if she texted somebody else.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. It was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not to me. I'm like, no. No.
No.
Code for something else.
Get it away from me.
Yes. Yes. No stiff neck, no headache. No, yeah. I promise.
That sounds like symptoms to meningitis, though.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So we were, you know, I wanted to quickly tell you a quick story that happened to me this week. I was dealing with one of my teachers. You know, I was talking to her, mm-hmm. and we were going over a paper. And because I'm going to Western Governor, and it's all about competencies and your final
getting
papers,
your master's in education,
right?
Instructional design.
And on your final paper of every semester, they give you like highly competent or competent or barely competent in these areas, and I got mostly fours, which is highly competent, and some mm-hmm. threes. And I said, well, how would I make these threes fours? Mm-hmm. We went through it. And she goes, you know.
To tell you the truth.
She goes, like, I don't know why I got a three on this section, because it was perfect. And she goes, well, you know what? I think a lot of times these evaluators, because the teacher doesn't evaluate you, which I think is interesting because mm-hmm. there's no bias to the teacher then. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times they feel like you haven't got your master's degree yet. So really, do you deserve a four? You know, they don't want you to get a big head mm-hmm. and like hold back mm-hmm. and not study and mm. do not a great job for your capstone. Mm-hmm. And they also don't want you to get like not get horrible scores and feel like you're not doing a good enough job. So like, why complete anything?
Right. Oh,
so
interesting.
It's a mojo kind of thing. Yeah. It's a psychology kind of thing. Yeah. And I remember an experience I had. I told David this story and on how I was in band, high school band, and we were getting put in, you know, our seating arrangement for high school band, and I got really far back, and I don't know why. I mean, usually it was really up, like in junior high, I was like number second, you know, seat, mm-hmm. sometimes first, and mm-hmm. and I was like 10th flautist, and I'm like, oh, this sucks.
How'd that happen?
And, yeah, and we had a sight read, which I'm horrible at sight reading, and I remember I got schooled by the person who was critiquing us and putting us in these orders, and he worked for the Chicago Symphony or whatever, and it was a pretty ritzy. Our band leader had, I don't know how he did. He had connections everywhere. He seemed like so we were a pretty good band for the suburbs, and mm-hmm. you know, had kind of high standards or whatever. So I was like 10th or 12th flute back, and I was so. He was kind of cruel to me, this guy. Mm-hmm. And I was so pissed at him.
What did he say to you?
Well, just you know, like, you know your junior high produces better quality flautists, you know, than you and all this stuff. And I'm like, and so I was like determined at that point on mm-hmm. that I was going to be number one flute. I'm like, mm-hmm. F you all mm-hmm. and so forth. And then David said, he goes, well, he probably said that to get you motivated. Mm-hmm. And I go to myself, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, but is that what it takes now for people, or my whole life, if I was treated cruelly more, like if people were if people were horrible to me more
that
often,
would just motivate the hell out of you.
I'd be like, F you, I'm going to succeed like crazy now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, is that what it takes?
But, you know, if I remember this story correctly,
yeah.
Is the rest of the story that you made it all the way up to chair two?
Three.
Chair three?
Yes.
And you were heading for number one?
Yes.
And chair number two pulled you aside and said,
"Well, no,
don't hurt this girl's feelings."
No, a friend of chair number two, who's a popular girl, mm-hmm. was one of the popular girls, said, "Oh, just don't go for her. Go for number one because she doesn't, you know, she's going to feel embarrassed, you know, or whatever."
Oh, and did you honor that?
Well, yeah, and I stayed where I was at because chair number one, my best friend.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I don't give a shit. You know, number three is good enough. And then, you know, a lot of times they'd have me play the music anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, Julie, you know, go ahead and play this solo. Mm-hmm. Even though you're number three. Mm-hmm. I knew who was number one. Hot baby, it was me. I didn't have to prove it. I didn't have to go the distance, which is probably the reason why my whole life is like this.
That's so true, Julie.
I don't go the distance because I'm really, at heart, I don't want to make anybody sad or upset.
Psychologically, that I can figure that one out.
But at the time, I was like, because I was like, I heard like this one guy made fun of me too. Like, oh, she thought she was so good, you know, in junior high or whatever. Mm-hmm. And look at her now or whatever. I don't know what kind of comment it was, but it was a snotty-ass comment.
Was it regarding flouts?
Yes, flutes.
sorry.
But it was funny, though. The whole point of the story is that when this happened to me, mm-hmm. I was ticked off. I was embarrassed and ticked off.
I know, you were, and you cried.
I did not cry.
I remember you crying a lot.
You do not remember the story at all. I'm sure I don't even think I told you about it.
How did I know that the end of the story was?
Oh, as an adult, I have shared this story, I'm sure.
Right, right.
But I think when it was going down, I think...
You didn't tell me.
I don't think I would have told you.
I don't think you would have either.
I sort of handled it.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to go into talking about
sure.
what's really going on this week.
Yes. I don't know how this happened.
The total eclipse.
I don't know how this happened.
I know. I don't know. We start the show with a list of things we're going to talk about, and none of it always happens. And that's okay, right?
It has to be.
Exactly. It has to be.
Because when we find that we actually have a list, We don't stick to it anyway.
Let the spirit take us.
Yes.
I mean, I remember listening to Wayne Dyer, and, you know, near the, you know, after he's been doing this for, you know, speaking in front of big crowds for many years, he goes, I never write down what I'm going to talk about.
Right.
I let the spirit just guide me.
That's right. And we don't know what spirit it is anymore.
And then. And there have been sometimes I've listened to some of your CDs, and I'm like, I wish you would have had a...
No, really?
No. Well, sometimes I'm going, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? No. Yeah. No, I mean, when you do it for a long enough time, you want it to sound natural and conversational.
Do. Right.
Or somebody's going to go... boring, like this, you're just reading it from a thing, or you know.
I was watching an AGT last night, Mary's Got Talent, they're doing the live show, and they have this one Marine Corps cadet band. It's like but they're really good. But and they did a great job last night. And one of the comments from the judge, I think it was Mel B, said, "I even like the fact that your choreography is awkward. It really is cool."
Oh,
and did you see that?
No.
Okay. And it was really true because their choreography was awkward. It was like there was an element to, like, while they were actually choreographed, within the choreography, everyone was kind of doing their own thing.
So it actually had intentional?
I think it was.
Oh, interesting.
So it actually had a really interesting feel to it.
Yeah.
And she commented on that.
Interesting.
And that's what I'm saying about spirit.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting.
So what were you going to say, Graham?
I have no idea.
No, about the total eclipse of the sun.
Yes, here we are. We've got 19, no, no, not even, like
how many minutes?
14 minutes left.
All right.
Yeah.
We can talk about the total eclipse of the sun.
Exactly. Well, we've been saying for a long time now
it's
how we're going.
Monday.
Yes, it's Monday. And at this moment, we have a 20% chance of rain. Just 20% chance.
Mm-hmm. Where we'll be at.
Possibly partly cloudy skies, which is, you know. But where we're at the moment is this. We're at a place where we had been talking, and we had been saying that we're going to just drive down to, to Carbondale.
Right.
And Monday, because everybody's talking about the eclipse on the radio, on TV, everywhere. So I'm starting to get... You know,
we're excited.
We're excited, and we're also starting. You know, we're getting more information about it.
But last Monday, we started really hearing a lot.
Right,
we had the mayor from Carbondale, and the NASA person, who's. I mean, they're expecting like an 60,000 minimum more people into this area.
Mm-hmm.
The entire stadium is going to be filled with people, and they were talking about how that you should have enough food and water
to be independent
if you had to be.
Right.
Meaning if you got trapped or something happened.
Or like the traffic was so bad. Couldn't move.
Yeah.
And if you've been to like, you know, Alpine on a hot summer day and the concert just ended and it's nighttime and you just go, well, we ain't moving anytime soon. We're just going to park here for 4 hours.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It could be that kind of situation.
Right. And that's what they're saying to expect.
And so we were like, on Monday, we're like, okay, we may have to really look at this plan we have.
Right.
Because what if we can't park in Walmart because every parking space is
already taken. And so we Google Earth the cemetery.
And there was one.
There was one.
And I thought, what if we can't get to it? And we had intended to go halfway on Sunday.
Right.
And like then Monday just get down there.
Right.
And we're like, that's not a good idea.
That's not going to happen.
It may be just traffic city everywhere.
Yeah.
And so we know we've been saying, hey, come by the Walmart. Say hi to us. We ain't there.
We're not here.
We're not at the Walmart in Carbondale.
But where are we, Julie?
We're in Eureka.
We're in Eureka.
Missouri.
At Jellystone.
At Jellystone Park.
So if you're having to come by
they let
Jellystone,
you in.
We're here.
Well, it was so funny because... At that moment, when we realized the whole, like, just having a camper does not really take care of us.
Yeah. We kind of realized we effed up a little bit.
We effed up because I'm like, I should have been looking for a spot to park this thing.
Yeah.
And
So we started making phone calls.
Yes.
Filled
filled. Don't even bother.
Don't bother. And one person one day, their normal rate was like $30 a night. They were asking $180.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, like, what? We have a camper.
Cash cow. Cash cow.
Yeah, hey, if you, we're in the totality low, we can charge whatever we want to charge.
Exactly.
And I had this thought about, like, why did I make t-shirts? You know, and then try and sell them down there. And that would be a way to get my side hustle on.
And what, instead of, we did sell the glasses that we had. We bought extra glasses.
Yes.
You heard some lady at Walmart saying, do you have any glasses? And he goes, for the eclipse?
That's tomorrow?
Yeah.
No.
He goes, no, we've been down there a long time ago. And you said, Hey, lady. I have some.
How much you want to pay for them? I got some. Meet me behind the building. Meet me behind the building, lady.
next time, which is 100 years from now, you'll be ready.
Exactly.
You're going to have a whole bunch of glasses.
For sure.
No, but there is one in 2024.
Yes. And they both intersect in St. Louis.
Exactly.
Can
right.
Can you believe it?
Yes.
That's weird.
So exciting.
I'll tell you what's weird is that if you listen to some channels, I mean, I don't even know if I want to go down this path.
What?
Well, just the...
The way the X or how it intersects?
Yeah. It's like totally,
yes,
you know, supernatural-ish.
Yes, yes.
And I have had thoughts, like when it goes total dark, what if we see UFOs? What if?
They'll be what if you see them finally? Yeah.
Like that was her thing. Like, hey, we're going to expose ourselves for 2 minutes.
Right.
Expose myself. They're going to expose to us. Oh, no, please don't expose yourself to us. Please don't.
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
That's
just
a,
2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm excited about this. But it was funny because
it's supposed to go 20 degrees
cooler?
Here's
the thing. We asked God when we were doing this. After I had been looking for hours and online, and like, you know, totally sold out.
We just stopped and said, Dearest Father in heaven.
And so you didn't even
God.
Know. Yeah. Yeah. You said, I didn't even tell you who I was calling. And or where it was.
No.
I said, I'm just going to call this place because it says sold out. He said, but call for this. And
right.
I'm like, okay, I'll call. Or they said, no, it said this site cannot handle reservations for this. I'm
right.
like, well, I'll just call then. Who knows?
Yeah.
They said, we just had a cancellation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
not 5 minutes ago.
I go,
and we had just prayed like
yeah.
5 minutes ago.
And they were a little price gougy. A
little bit.
And so I go, I'll call you right back because I had to confirm, like, do we want to do this?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, we got no choice. I mean, at this stage of the game, was an extra $100
right.
at this stage.
Right.
I go, you're right. We got to go for it. Mm-hmm. We just got to do it. And so that's when we got our spot at Jellystone.
Yes.
You know, and the train Eureka, comes by with the Yogi Bear at a certain time in the morning and says hi to all the kids.
Yay!
Like,
yay!
Really, this is our life. You know, and so I find it's going to be awesome. And I can't wait to share it with everybody.
So we'll be talking about it for sure next week.
Our experience.
We'll tell about our experience. And we're also going to take pictures.
Yes.
And video. If only we could figure out how to put that on our website on BBS Radio.
I think we can. I'll find out from the guys.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
Don't go to NASA. Go to us.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I also want to bring a calendar, like for pasta.
That's a calendar.
Calendar, yes, because it has holes in it. And so you put that in the sun and next to white paper, and then you can see where the circles are at. You can see the moon coming over it. Does that make sense?
No.
So the sun coming through.
You wear a calendar on your
head? No. You put it on the ground against white paper.
Oh, okay.
And the sun going through the calendar will give a shadow on
the paper.
On the paper, and then you'll eventually see the moon coming across it.
Oh, I get it. I kind of get it.
Supposedly.
That's really physics, though, isn't it?
I don't know if it's physics.
What is it?
I don't know, but I don't know if it's physics.
Astronomy.
Yeah,
astronomy.
Or maybe just, I don't know, science. I don't know if it's physics.
We were talking to a person this week, and she was saying, Leo is in the Uranus sign, or
yeah, her Uranus is rising in her Leo.
That's right.
That's good for her.
That would be painful.
Well, you were talking to somebody different, and you just go because you're psychic like you are. You just go, I see a unicorn. and a rainbow with you. What's that about? I'm like, Mom, please don't go into detail. We don't want to know why she's a unicorn or a rainbow. She might not want to share that.
She might not want to share it, but she shared it.
She shared it. And it wasn't what we thought it meant.
Right.
You know, it meant that she was a magical creature, but yes. not the kind of mythical creature that appears in threesomes.
That's right.
So that was very interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have some fears about,
yeah,
you know, not, I mean,
a little bit, because
I have some X-File fears.
We have some X-File theories.
Yeah.
We have some apocalyptic theories.
Yeah.
Because some people say that Jesus is going to come.
Yes.
And so we'll all be together.
Yes. And then my father, crazy as he is, has, what about our dog, Elliot? We'll be gone and he'll be up in, you know.
Yeah, we're leaving him at Mistoso's.
Yeah. He'll be fine there.
Yeah.
We'll let Greg deal with it all.
We willed him to Greg.
Yeah, he gets willed to Greg.
But if there's no body, if we like go apocalyptic, mm-hmm. how do they know there's a will? I guess they would
assume.
Well,
what if it's only the people that are in the totality
yeah.
section?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So would they be considered dead if we're gone? If we got raised up in the apocalypse?
I don't know. Possibly.
Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting because in, that HBO show that I can't remember
the name Walking
of it.
Dead.
No, that's A&E.
Oh, Gone.
Leftovers.
Leftover.
Gone. Not to be seen again. Excuse me. No, Leftovers.
Yeah.
I didn't get the Leftovers. Don't open that container. Woo, that's been left over for a long time. Long time.
Well, you just told me, Mom, how long does rice last? You said I got some in there. It's about 2.5 years old. I'm
like, well, you first said.
Please, Julie.
You first said rice lasts forever. I'm like, okay, I'll put it in her soup then. She goes, well, how old is this rice? About 2.5 years old. How much is left? A little bit. Because you know what? Let's not put 2.5 year old rice in our soup. And our homemade soup full of like $20 of vegetables. Let's not do that. So with the leftovers, they got, spoiler alert.
Not again.
If you're watching it,
it's over with, by the way.
It is over with.
Yeah.
And literally we find it all out in the last two scenes, I think, of the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And really it's just a screenwriter writing what really happened. We don't have any visual of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, different dimension.
Mm-hmm. That's it?
That's it.
They went to a different dimension.
Yes.
And then did they come back?
No, but she came back. One person came back, mm-hmm. went and came back because she found the scientist who created this machine who can bring people back. And mm-hmm. she said, well, maybe I want to go back home, you mm-hmm. know, and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Well, did they have a choice in the matter to get in the new? In the
no.
Got it.
Mm-mm.
But why some and why not some?
No, there was no real reason why.
Got it.
I mean, really, there was no real reason
Screenwriter Jerkoff.
Yeah, I mean, like, exactly. I just... Now, see, if you say that, do you have to finish it?
I don't have to finish it.
Because you didn't do the...
I didn't make the motion. I was reaching for my yogurt bar.
There you go.
I couldn't.
Yeah. See, I think this Warlog that I feel sometimes,
That's your medicine.
I think it's my medicine
as well. Yeah.
So my hands being numb, my feet being numb, my knees being numb, my nose being numb, my head being numb.
Yeah, how is that numbness going?
I'm exhausted too. I mean, I know
you don't look good today. You look a little pale.
Thanks, appreciate that.
No, I told you that before though.
I know you did. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's all good.
Okay,
we're all good, and so forth.
Okay, we'll get I'm not through saying this. That you. I'm not saying that. I'm going to the law of attraction. You look great.
Thank you. You look good.
You're not waterlogged at all.
No, exactly. Like, all right. Now you're just trying to law of attraction me. It's funny because there's something to that. Like when I think I look the prettiest, everybody thinks I look pale. And I don't know what that's about.
Hmm.
It's like something when I see myself in the mirror, I go, oh, I look pretty today.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will say, oh, you look so pale today. Why do you look so pale?
Yeah.
I'm like, huh, this is very weird.
That is odd.
Because in my mind, it means my complexion is all even, even toned. Like, oh my God, my complexion looks so nice and even toned.
Yeah. Oh, you're so pale.
Oh, it's so pale. Yeah. Usually you're, you know, mm-hmm. usually got a little, I don't know,
a little ruddy skin.
Ruddy skin here and there.
A little blotchy.
You're a little blotchy. Not today, you're all even. What's going on with you? You sick? I'm like, no.
You're like, I'm pretty today.
So, girlfriend, how'd you like the show?
I can't wait for
the eclipse,
girlfriend.
And has the trip been disappointing so far?
No, it's been great.
It was great.